Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, it is good. It is so good. God is good. Everything in this creation is so good. By whatever name you call the creation, it is good today. How are you, listeners? This is Professor Applewhite from the Student to Teacher to Student Internet Radio Show. And I can't tell you how good it feels to be on this switchboard this morning, to be somewhere near your ear, and so happy to know that you are concerned about developing a healthy attitude and what it looks like, what it be, what it look like, okay, as some of our younger generation might say. This morning, we have a series of guests. Let me just bring on our co-host this morning, Nazim Rashid, before our time gets away from us. And he'll introduce our show topic, but there's something I want to give you this word this morning.
Good morning.
The word is optimism. Good morning. This is the most optimistic co-host, author, and musician, and educator I've ever met. Hello, Brother Nazim Rashid.
Yes, how are you doing? Nazim Rashid here. How are you doing today?
I am doing so good. When I think about healthy attitudes, sometimes that's a struggle, Brother Nazim. Sometimes that's a struggle to have a healthy attitude.
Of course it is, because the environment around us does not support that, you know, so you have
that's
to go
right.
against what you see around you, what you feel around you.
That's right. That's right. And that's tough sometimes. Sometimes you get all kind of weapons and spiritual warfares, as people call them, and just people in our lives that just choose to be miserable. But if we choose
yes.
a healthy attitude, we can do all kinds of things.
Yes, but see, we have to constantly do that. See we can't just see what the day brings us or see what happens today or just what happens. You become a leaf in the wind that way. And whatever way the wind blows, you'll go. You have to constantly tell yourself you're going to be a certain kind of way regardless of what you see, feel around you, and hear around you.
That is so, so true. This morning I received a call from some of our advisory board members. They are in, I believe they said Cambria Beach. I hope I'm saying that word right, and that place right. And they were telling me about the environment out there and what's going on. And I told them that we will be there in spirit with them and enjoying the beach. And for a moment, I'm not kidding you, for a moment, I could actually close my eyes and envision the waves. I could hear the waves. I could smell the seawater. I could feel the light, warm breeze and the sand and all of the good things that we attribute to being on a beach. And I said, you know what? If we can choose to close our eyes and to do that, we can choose to do that. Now, not on the road, on the way to work, of course, but we certainly can, before we get out of the car, before we even wake up in the morning, put our feet down on the floor, we can close our eyes and envision a beautiful scene that will bring us peace.
Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, we can. We have so many channels within us to turn to. It's amazing, you know, but we choose to use the channels that we always have been because it's convenient and it's familiar, you see.
Mm.
So that's why it's very important for us to look at other options we have within us. We have other options there. We don't have to be on that one channel.
No, we don't. No, we don't. Now, before we get too far now, we want to make sure that all the listeners are aware of what the show is about this morning. So because we are missing a very valuable, valuable piece on our show, which is our resource consultant, she usually opens our show and describes, gives a show description for us, which is our dear Dorothy Nazim. You're a very, very beautiful, significant partner and lover and wife and all those beautiful things. We certainly miss her this morning, but she's doing something wonderful for White Apple Institute, and so we appreciate what she's doing this morning. Would you mind reading the show description for us?
Well, let's see here. I can read. Okay, here we go. What does a healthy attitude look like? Professor Applewhite, host and Nazim Rashid, co-host of the Student to Teacher to Student Internet radio show, ask their listeners to define what they call a healthy attitude. We encourage listeners to call in, share their views about what a healthy attitude looks like, and listen to strategies to develop this way of life. It is critical that our attitude about being healthy is accepted in the culture and society we live in. I believe.
Now, and yes. That's a little typo there at the bottom there, but I thank you so much for overlooking that and moving forward. Many times we have typos in the things that we write, and it's so great that we have a delete key on our computer. But as I was sharing with a student this week, we have a delete key that's always with us because we write our own script. We write our own stories much like we write on a keyboard. And we can always delete and we can always save as, or we can take that file and throw it in the trash cycle, the bin, and empty it out and never go back to it. That's the good part. Now, Brother Nazim Rashid, may I say, that when I was listening to you read the description, I thought about what I had shared with you a moment earlier about our friends that are at the beach this morning. And they're going to try to call in, as a matter of fact, from the beach. Technology is fantastic. But when you said what a healthy attitude looks like, I imagined that not only what it looks like, what it smells like, because you remember I went to that beach scene a moment ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not only what it looks like, but what it smells like, what it feels like, what you hear, what you even smell. I mean, the whole atmosphere, all of your sensory receptors, you know, just receiving information in from all channels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important when we look at defining what a healthy attitude is.
Oh, it sure is.
I can see a teacher walking into a classroom right now and saying, as we know, some of them walk in and I've even been there some mornings and I haven't wanted to be there because something happened on the outside of that classroom, on the way in or with someone in my household or whatever, phone call. And for some reason, I had to still go in and I still had to deal with beautiful souls sitting in front of me, valuable souls, that what I say and what I do that morning was going to be important to them. So I immediately had to make a choice as a teacher that I will impact their lives positively or I can certainly impact it negatively. I choose, as I know you've chosen many, many times, to develop a healthy attitude. And no matter what I'm going through, it's not their fault. And I have no right to take it out on the students who sit before me.
That's right.
Because they're good. We have another call, Ron. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, you want to go ahead? You want to share that? Go ahead. Share that before.
Well,
we
I want to say that it's important that what you dream comes back to you. So then if you want a certain attitude back from the student, you have to first give it out yourself. That's important, and so forth. And too many times, you know, teachers will go into a classroom in a neutral position, and then the kids will just start acting up, and they'll just do something that's the kind of contrary. And the teacher says, "Oh my God, here these little kids again give me a hard time, you know, and what can I do about this here?" Instead of asking, "What did you bring first?" Well, I didn't do anything. I just came in to just kind of go through the curriculum and teach the class. I didn't do anything. So I don't know why the kids act like that, you know. Well, think about it. There's no such thing as neutral. There's no such thing as neutral.
I have to agree with that, yes.
No. You either bring it or you don't.
Right. We either have a healthy attitude or we don't. That's the bottom line. There's no gray area in a healthy attitude.
No.
There's no almost healthy. There either is or there isn't. And that healthy attitude has to be, if you choose, a positive attitude towards the students that sit before you. Let me take in this next call, and we'll come right back to you, Brother Nazim Rashid.
All right.
Hello, this is Professor Applewhite, a student to teacher to student, radio show on Internet. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning, Professor
Applewhite. Good morning. Is this the person that I just said we missed so dearly? This is our resource consultant, isn't it?
Yes, I'm in the car, so we might come and go, but at least I can listen and say hi to everyone.
I understand, and thank you so much for calling in. I explained to our listeners this morning, as I know some of them are going to miss your lovely voice and all the resources that you bring to us, that you shared what you wanted me to speak about today, and I will make sure that I do that before we end the show, and we just appreciate you calling in.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, we're going to continue on with this discussion that we're having, and I'm sure you can add in something along the way if you get a chance to. We were talking about, you know, when we think about this healthy attitude and that we look at it from all perspectives, all of our five senses plus, I'll have to say six senses. Now, don't you guys start thinking I'm going up in a spaceship or anything. Okay? But, you know, we have to understand that we have the five senses, and then there's this other feeling that we have, and we really, some people call it intuition, they have different names for it, but it's that feeling that we know that we have the capability of developing some kind of spiritual relationship with the Creator, not a religious relationship, I didn't say that, I said a spiritual relationship, and that sometimes can be very, very instrumental in making that change happen, that choice happen, right, Nazim?
That's right, absolutely.
And we want to live as winners. Dennis Waitley, one of my favorite people, talks a lot about the winner and different aspects of a winner. Yes, and I love the way he breaks down that a winner is someone who you win when you don't quit, and that's what I would like students to remember about our show this morning. And of course, that number one word, optimism. That's the word we're going to leave with them this morning. How do we define optimism? Do we have a Webster's Dictionary definition?
You know, I'm so glad you asked the question. What I did, you know, I actually have that as a chapter in my book, Reconnecting How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self.
Oh,
and I've taught classes on that throughout the years, the young and old alike. And very important to look at the word itself. You see? OPT, optimum, you know, the most, the greatest, you know, optimum. And when you look at in last three letters, you know, you got ISM-ism, the belief in. And so you put that together and you have the belief in the best. So therefore, my definition is a firm, strong belief that the best is possible and probable in my life.
Wow. Say that once more. The best,
the best
everything
is possible and probable in my life. So therefore, you say it's going to happen. It's going to happen because I believe it is there for me. I'm optimistic. Yes, it's going to happen. And
right.
so forth. So therefore, see, that's coupled with strong faith. It's coupled with that. So you know it is. So, you know, when you're optimistic, when you have an optimistic teacher going to the classroom, there aren't any doubts, no doubt whatsoever, that they're going to be successful. Because they say to themselves, I was born successful.
Right.
I was created and conditioned to be successful. I have a successful class here. I'm going to go in there and have a successful process, and we're going to have a successful end product here. It's going to happen. So with that energy going into the classroom, the students pick up on that. They say, wow, well, just the teacher believes this strong. Maybe we can do something here. Okay, well, let's give her or him a chance. All right, well, they're more open to the process because you bring it. They're more open, you see. And so that's
mm-hmm.
important to understand.
We bring it, and we bring it. And now this is something that I find is a real, I'll say, argumentative issue with many, many teachers because it does – it's said in an argumentative tone, and it said, these are the words that I hear, but I can't help it, but you don't know what I go through in the morning before I get to that classroom, but you don't know my administrator, but you don't know my, it goes on and on and on, and I have to come back to them and say, but you have a choice, and every time they say that to me, I come back, but you have a choice. And we do. We have a choice to stay or to play. And see,
that's
I always
right.
look at the classroom as a place of play for myself and for my students. It's fun. Learning is
right.
fun.
Right.
You know, I don't care what level you're at. I don't care if you're taking an organic chemistry class or American history or economics, which is not my favorite subject, but I found a way. Now, I'll admit, the first economics class I took, I did withdraw, and students, but some of you are saying, Professor Applewhite, you withdraw? You withdrew from class? Yes, I did. I withdrew, but I did take the class again, but I investigated further the instructor. And I advise you always, if it's a class that you're not really comfortable with, look into who the instructor is and look at what people are saying about that instructor. Always consider the messenger. But you want to be in a classroom where someone chooses to make a subject come alive. Because there's a lot of, I'd say, very boring subjects depending on what your life is all about and what your goals are. Right?
That's right.
I mean, there are people out there that look at math and think it's very exciting.
Right.
I can hear it out there, Dorothy. I can hear people say, ooh, math, exciting? No way. But there
oh,
are
yes,
people.
My granddaughter loves math.
Yes, loves it. You know, she could probably do a math problem much quicker than watch a television show.
Yeah.
Mhm. And for me, when I was growing up, and even now at my age, though I'm not going to say it, but if you want to know it, I'll be glad to email it to you. I love listening and working with the brain and how people learn. I have never, ever stopped feeling that passion of teaching psychology and education courses. And I'm going to continue to do it until I can't do it anymore. What do you enjoy doing that you have a healthy attitude towards?
Am I on the air?
Yes, uh-huh. I'd just like to know what you
okay.
enjoy doing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Number
okay.
one, a couple of things. I mean,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, I enjoy when other people are actually feeling more empowered, and the light bulb comes on in other people's mind and space and so mm-hmm. forth. I really enjoy it. It's really a good high for me when I see other folks get it, when I see kids get it, when they see, oh, there is another path for me. I'm going to take this path. Thank you for the mm-hmm. process. That's really a really boost for me when I see other ones just, you know, they take the reins of life and they say, yes. I'm going to make a difference in my life. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this. And then I see them actually teach and help other youth along the way.
And it feeds you. It feeds you when they make that choice to enjoy what they're learning. It feeds you when you can share what you've learned and you get excited over the conversational dialogue. And I know that you like the conversational dialogue because, as our listeners know, it really works well, especially with you and I and Dorothy and some of our other board members. When we get together and we're pushing around ideas about how to make the show more exciting, we're always looking at the things that we love, truly love. And most of us are teachers or in the education field or in professional fields that are related. And we're here because we're excited about sharing what we've learned, and we have a healthy attitude about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm encouraging listeners to call in this morning. Dorothy, you have that number for us?
Not from memory, and I'm driving. I can't read it.
Okay, let me go ahead and give that to you. Listeners, if you can.
I'll do it.
I mean, that's technology there. Go ahead, Nazi.
1-646-727-3758. Again, that's 1-646-727-3758.
That's right. In addition to the fact that we are available by telephone for you to call in, listeners, there's also a chat line that you can speak with Nazim Rashid on. You just log in and go into chat, and you can actually ask questions that are related to the topic today or that you'd like us to bring up at a later day, and we'll do our best to do this. You know, something comes to mind. A couple of shows ago, it might have been last week's show, we had a very interesting caller that participated, and he is with the apprenticeship programs around the U.S. and abroad. And we were so excited to have that gentleman join us, and we have every intention of following up with him from White Apple Institute and helping him in any way that we can to pass the word about apprenticeships. But the reason why I bring him up or the concept of apprenticeships is that's where you really get into the passion of having a healthy attitude about what you do as far as preparing for the workforce and being in the workforce. Because once you have an apprenticeship, which is a way of an employer saying, come and learn this trade, this skill, come and learn with us, and we will pay you to learn with us, many times a full salary. Many times a full salary they will give us, but it's on a contractual basis. But even if it's not a full salary, it's some kind of stipend that they will allot for you to learn their specific trade. Now, this is how education started in America, and I think our caller had brought out, we went all the way back to Plato and Socrates as far as organized education and sharing that. And people that stepped into the arenas of yesterday and people that step into the arenas of learning today even, when they step in with a healthy attitude, it all works. It all pulls together, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Yes, it does.
Yeah. I want to tell you, I would like to know what a healthy attitude looks like to our listeners that call in this morning. But I'd like to start with you, Nazim, and I'd like to know what when you say I have a healthy attitude about school and work, what does that really mean?
Well, one thing, you look at perspective, you look at the image, first of all, and if it pertains to school, the student has the right image. What image do they have? When you say healthy attitude, we're looking at healthy image. So, therefore, the school is a positive place of now education and empowerment. It's also a positive place to help me get to my next level of evolvement, you see. And so we look at the image of the school in that perspective. And so for them, that is synonymous with a healthy attitude, you know, toward the school. And first, it all starts with self, first of all. And so when they have a healthy attitude for themselves, which is first, again, they have the right image, the right perspective of themselves as it relates to where they want to go. So when they have that coupled with the right image of where they're going, that together brings a healthy attitude, a synergistic idea of the healthy attitude towards school. And then they will learn more, because what happens now, they're more receptive to the good ideas and education that's being imparted to them at school. You see, they're receptive. This is so very important. When you have Jack here and Jill here, and they're in the same classroom in, say, science, Jill gets the science information and the fact Jack does not. You say, well, why? They're both there. They're both seeming like they're listening, but why is Jill getting it and Jack does not? Well, Jill has more reception. She turned her reception, her receptors on because of her combination of healthy attitude toward that class.
Yes, yes. Absolutely, absolutely. I want to say something to you. Dorothy, do you have an idea of, before I move into sharing what my healthy attitude looks like towards school and work, do you have something to share on that? What do you see when you think about, oh, I have a healthy attitude?
Oh, I love learning something new. My last business course, I had a healthy attitude toward that. I was looking forward to going and learning what was new as far as business. How do you get started? What do you do? I mean, I was excited. I enjoyed going and learning mm-hmm. something new. That's yes. healthy to me.
Exactly. Now I'm going to get really, really deep now, because before I tell you what I feel about a healthy attitude, what it looks like for me, I want to really lay something out there for all of our listeners. I want you this morning to kind of like take some notes down, all of you out there listening. And we know we've got hundreds of listeners out there. We've been getting great, great reviews. And I would like you to write down what I feel a healthy attitude encompasses. And that is that we look good, what we see in the mirror, okay, when we're getting dressed and preparing to go to school or to go to work, either one or doing it concurrently, okay, what does it look like? Do we look nice? Do we dress nice, okay? Now, that's the eyesight, okay? Now, how about smell? Okay, do we smell good? Do we, you know, when we go someplace that we like to go to, if we're going out on a date or we're going to a special event, we splash something on, cologne or something, so that we can smell good. Now, I'm giving you some clues about what I feel a healthy attitude for me is, too. Okay, what do we hear on the way in? What do we hear in our household? What do we choose to hear? We can choose to hear people arguing in our household. We can choose to hear beautiful music playing in the morning. You know, it depends on what you set your radio to, that your radio alarm that wakes you up in the morning. And then also it's about what you speak, the things you speak out of your mouth, what you touch. Okay, all of those things play a big part in developing this healthy attitude towards school and work. Now, some of the controversy about that that I've heard is that, well, Professor Apple, school is not work. Oh, yes, it is. You can't get to work unless you have some type of schooling, some type of education, whether it's academically based or just street education or, shall I say, family education. A lot of families do homeschooling. But you've got to have some kind of educational base foundation to even think about working. And then what does work mean? It means exchanging that dollar bill, those Benjamins, that kind of energy to get the things that you want in life. So we start with the basics of the five senses, developing a healthy attitude about school and work that will get us to the ultimate, or as Nazim said earlier, the optimum outcome. Did I cover everything there?
Sounds great.
Okay. I mean, it gets really deep because, you know, I don't know about you, but I have students, and I encourage all the teachers listening out there, encourage your students to picture their future and start bringing things from that future into their present world. So if they're saying that that they want a house near a beach, here I go with that beach again, I love the beach, okay, or a cabin somewhere or a ranch or whatever, start bringing those visions into a collage, a physical collage on a poster board that they can put in front of them every day. I do that now, and I'm 50-plus years old, and I love looking at my collage that's on the wall right near my bed. A very good friend, Donna Govan, helped me put that collage together. And it's everything, all my senses, everything that I want about to develop a healthy attitude. So what do you think about that?
Oh, I love that.
That sounds natural to me.
Yeah,
we have a vision board at home, too. A couple of them.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Just share a little bit about that, would you?
Well, one of them is a vacation home so that family can get together One of them, and I have family members' pictures up there. One of them is a picture of a lady with a big wheelbarrow cash pushing it up the stairs into the bank.
Right. That's a healthy attitude.
Yeah. Well, one of them has Nazim and I holding our first big check from the publisher's
publisher.
It's a literal.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a literal picture. I mean, we posed for it, and a wonderful young lady named Flory created a check for us, and we have a beautiful
mm-hmm.
picture of us on there with that holding that big check.
Wow.
That's one.
Any more? I mean, just keep sharing. I mean, I want to hear it.
Well, we know eventually we'll have a retirement home up in the Oakland area with a so we can look out and see the water and enjoy the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
We know that, too. So walking along the beach hand in hand is definitely one of our goals.
Yes, that's right. And what we wanted people to do this morning on our show was to absolutely look at, listen to the strategies that help us develop this way of life, okay? The strategies are not always about the money, the Benjamins. The strategy is about the first step, which is guided imagery, which is what Nazim speaks a lot about. I use it in my classroom. I hope that other teachers will use some guided imagery, and maybe we can get Nazim to do an exercise this morning. We've got about 28 minutes left on the show, and we'd like to hear, maybe you could guide us through an imagery exercise, so that we can begin to understand that it's not just about the money, it's an attitude thing. It really is. And
right.
The attitude starts way before the bank account.
Mm-hmm.
How do we think about that? Would you be able to do that, Brother Nazim Rashid?
I would love to do that. No problem whatsoever.
Wonderful. Because in your book, you mentioned a lot about visualization. And I love that. I wish that more teachers would get into that practice of having or taking what we're teaching and making it applicable, okay, to the real world of what a student is motivated to achieve. And that goes at any age level, listeners. I mean, it doesn't matter what age you are. When you step into a classroom, as a matter of fact, the older you are, the more mature you are, you step into the classroom with very clear visualizations of what you want, because you're either going because an employer says, you know, you need to learn this particular computer program in order to be efficient on your job, or they're downsizing and you need to learn a new trade or skill. So you're very clear as an adult learner about what you want to happen, what your expected outcome is. We want to bring that into the earlier levels of learning so that when an adult learner gets to that 17, 18 plus maturity, that they already have a direction.
Mhm. Oh yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I was gonna add that, you know, there are some families who are doing that. You know, even though the vast majority here are what we call dysfunctional families and come from dysfunctional situations, there are some who are doing it right. I mean, I know one family here in particular who has such a functional family. Here is the husband and wife, and they have six kids. Well, they have more than six kids, actually, but they have six kids who are in the home. The rest are adults, but from the age of 2 to 16, and it's a wonderful example of what can happen when you do it right. You have the mother who is a child development specialist. She homeschools the kids there, and the father as a businessman, he has four or five properties and owns about two child care centers and a group home also. And so the kids have 24/7 access to both parents.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful kind of situation. When I go to their house,
wow. Mm-hmm.
The two-year-old surprises me. They have such good manners. They shake my hand and say, "How are you doing, sir?" Three-year-old amazes me. The 12-year-old is like the general of the house. He actually operates as a commander. He tells the young one what needs to be done. You got to pick it up, get into the trash. You got to help mother over here. You got to take care of this. You got to clean the bathroom. They're on top of it. I said,
right.
My God, and they are so smart. 16-year-old. He's already studying business skills with his father. He works with his father at other businesses and properties. I said, oh, my God, what a great example. They're well-dressed. They smile. They're on top of it. They have play. They have the playtime. But they understand the honesty of good work. They understand love. The love is evident there. And I said, wow, what an example for us to look at. And it's really exciting.
I love it. See if you can get that family to come and join us on the show. I'd love to do an interview with them because I'll tell you, that's one of the things that we're missing is that I hear it many times. Parents say, well, you know, my child won't do this. He doesn't want to learn in school. And I've heard people say it with 17, 18 years old. Or I just had recently a woman that has a 30-year-old son that just will not go to work and will not go to school. And one of the reasons why we have to cite this, we have to look at this as a research phenomenon, and that is that they're not motivated. They're not motivated.
Right.
And why aren't they? Because the homeschool idea is very, very important. It doesn't necessarily mean that you take the academics into the home, but you school them in different ways on how to live and how to be, this is what I'm hearing you say, how to be happy about what you do, how to know that what you contribute to your home is going to help you get from point A to point B. You know, when I take out the trash, I'm not taking out the trash just because mom said it or because my wife said that is on me and nagging me to death. Take out the trash because you understand the objective is that's going to keep the house clean. And that's a healthy attitude. The same thing
absolutely.
We do when we get to work. I mean, when you get to work, look at what your employer is saying to you. And instead of taking a very poor and unhealthy attitude about what's being said, think about how I can turn this perspective around here and do a good job. So no matter, even if the employer is not happy with what he sees or does, because that could be his own personal stuff, I'm going to be happy when I look in the mirror. My healthy attitude is going to remain, and nobody's going to impact that because I've got it internalized.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you said the 16-year-old. Tell us a little bit about the 16-year-old.
Well, the 16-year-old, when I saw him, he was kind of amazing. Out of all those kids, the 12-year-old was the most vocal and more in charge. It kind of really kind of something. The 16-year-old, he was a hard worker. He was with his father. He's like a business partner with his father, always looking at, always being on the father's properties, understanding the child care business, understanding the construction aspect of it also. He's one of the hard manual labor kind of hard workers. He just works. And so they all smile all the time. It's kind of amazing. The 12-year-old, out of all those kids, it's the 12-year-old that is the kind of like the commander and of all six of them. And it's so amazing how they all cooperate, they're all loving, and they're all very, very, very smart, you know, and it's so amazing to me. I mean, I've seen that. I have seen some of that in the Bay Area, by the way, but it's kind of rare when you see, you know, especially six kids, you know, they got six kids, and they got more who are older. They got 30 and 29, 26-year-old siblings also who are outside the home. But in the home, you have six kids. And what I hear a lot of times when parents say, I got too many kids, I can't do anything, or the father got problems, mother got problems, they can't. There's no love, there's no time. Look, you can do it if everybody is on the same page. In this family, everybody is on the same page. I'm telling you. The one thing they have, see, because the kids have 24 access to both parents, they are connected every day to both parents, day and night.
Very
and that
point.
Is what we mostly do not have.
Right.
You see?
Oh, you know what else I don't see a lot that you mentioned? I don't see smiles. I'll tell you, you know, it made me think back to the many classrooms that I visit, and whether I'm visiting to evaluate the performance of a teacher or I'm teaching it myself. You know, I don't see smiles. That's something that's missing. The smiles in the classroom, there's almost like an angriness that's there. It's like, let's just get this done. I've had many students come to me and say, just give me your syllabus and I'll get the work done. Is there any reason why I have to come to class? You know, that they don't even express a joy at the very beginning of the semester of saying that I'm going to try to enjoy this subject so I can learn something about myself and about other people in the classroom. They don't even want to know anybody else. I teach totally by group experience, you know. I think you know that. I always group my students. And I do that for the major purpose of getting people involved again. It's almost as pervasive of this attitude of this angriness or this self-ostracizing. I don't want to touch you. I don't want to be near you. I don't want to smile with you. I see it even on the dance floor. People don't really dance with each other. They dance with themselves.
Right.
Okay? They don't smile even on the dance floor, many people.
No, right. You're
okay?
Right.
So where's the smile? I think we need to do a show around where are the smiles in our classrooms, in our workplaces? Oh, don't even go to the workplaces. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, all that's reflective of the culture. You know, we have a kind of a hate culture, and a culture that all builds around I instead of we. It's all I.
Yes,
and so that's reflective.
Yes.
If you look back, and back in the family culture days, say 40 years ago or so, you know, the whole culture was around family. You had dances, coordinated dances, where people were smiling, throwing one another around, they're holding one another close, and so forth. So everything was around family and touching and coordination. See,
yes.
Coordination, that was a big word back in those days. You know, you got a part, I got a part. Put together, we got the whole right there. And
right.
And teaching was the same thing. Teachers knew the parents well. Parents had a relationship with the teachers. They can call them anytime. And so forth.
Right.
So everybody knew one another. Everybody was on the same family page and so forth. And then their neighbors were your parents also. When you're walking, you know, down the street, the neighbors will call out to make sure you're doing the right thing. So we had a collective kind of a supporting mechanism back in those days that you don't see now. So right now, because that's not in our culture, you know, the dances reflect that, the attitude toward one another reflects that. When someone gets killed in the street, it's not a big thing anymore. So we have come desensitized, you know, to these kind of horrors. And what happens, empathy is gone, compassion is gone, love is gone. So therefore, when the student comes to the classroom, their culture tells them to disconnect, not to connect.
Right.
They come with the attitude of being separate from.
Definitely.
You see?
They come to disconnect because they already feel so disconnected. And that's why when you were reading the description of the show, listeners out there, you might remember that Nazim said we were going to talk about it is critical that our attitude about being healthy is accepted in the culture and society we live in. Because culture and the society we live in play such a big part in whether or not we smile or whether or not we have an optimistic perspective about life. Do we believe in the best, that the best is possible and probable in our life?
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that if we don't have that and don't share that that optimism, and it's definitely contagious. That's one contagious issue I'd love to continue having is that optimism and that smiling and making a classroom a happy place to be in. I remember times, and this is not to put myself in any kind of braggative or above the rest of us, because I know that there's other teachers, and I've heard them speak about it, Nazim, just like you and I do. We've experienced classrooms where students didn't want to leave.
Right.
They didn't want to leave. They didn't want to go home because their home life was so incredibly unhappy, and they were happy being in the classroom, being at school where there was a chance to live and create and to grow. And to be optimistic.
You're right.
And when they go home, what are the parents doing? They're complaining about their work. They're complaining about life. And parents, please stop telling your children. Please. Professor Applewhite does not say things like, please don't do this very often, because I allow a lot of room for people to develop their own culture and their families. But there's one thing I have to say. To please stop saying don't turn out like me to your children.
Oh, boy.
Because it's an automatic put-down, isn't it, Nazim? It's saying,
boy.
Look at
me.
I'm nothing. I'm nothing. So you're part of me, so really you're nothing too. Okay?
Right, that's right. That's right.
And
that's right.
So, you know, we can't – where do we as teachers – fit in when we have a student that walks into our classroom that doesn't feel, that feels like they're nothing in their own family atmosphere. So how are they going to feel like we are going to help them feel valuable? We got to try, but it's a tough road when we don't have parents like the ones that you're talking about that you visited.
Oh, you're right about that. I'm telling you, you know, we need to have more of that. And I'm telling you, but we can do that. But see, we got to paint ourselves the healthy model. And see, everything I do, what I'm teaching is always best based on a healthy model. Even my own, you know, private life is always best on what's healthy. When I look in the mirror, I always ask myself, okay, is this healthy or not healthy? Is it in alignment with a healthy model I've accepted or not in alignment? And so, right. So I always go by what's in alignment, not what's not in alignment. And so it's very important. And when we look at our students, we have to remove ourselves. Because sometimes ourselves get in the way of the teaching.
That's right. Our ego, right?
Yeah.
Harry and Donna Govan speak a lot about our ego gets in the way.
Yeah, you got to move ourselves. So it's not about you. You know, it's all about what's the best thing for the student, the best thing to bring. So we got to take ourselves out of it entirely. It's not about what kind of morning you've had and how you stubbed your toe and how you burnt yourself in the coffee and all that kind of stuff and so forth. It's not about that, you know. It's not about that one.
The teacher's going through a divorce. That's a big thing, and they bring that divorce right into the classroom, Nazim.
Oh, they sure. They do all the time and so forth. So, and because of course, you got a whole idea of racism. That's all out there, still out there right now. You see it in the news now. So all those kind of things impact what comes to the classroom. But you got to tell yourself that is not important. I am not important. The news is not important. What happened to me is not important. What's important now is the right energy, healthy energy I'm bringing for these students. That's the only important thing. Parents, same kind of thing. It's not about how I'm mad with my wife or mad with my husband. What's important is what's the right energy I need to bring for these kids.
That's right.
You see?
That's right. We have another caller. And when we come back, Nazim, please get prepared to take us through some guided imagery because our time on the show is getting a little close to that moment where we have to say goodbye. But I do want to make sure that we get all the listeners in. It's just been so exciting to talk to everyone, and we've got over 400 listeners out there right now. But we're not getting a lot of people calling in, so we want you to call in if you can within this next 12 minutes. But stay with us. Here we are. We had a caller in, and I believe this is our group that's at the beach this morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite, student teacher.
Yes, this is Donna and Jerry, and we are at the beach.
Donna and Jerry Govan.
We're up here paying tribute to one of my longtime friends who was a real part of the growth of America and did many wonderful things. He was a person that melded the Germans and the Americans back together in Europe in 1955.
Oh. Wow.
A first open house at the totally secured Bremerhaven port. His name was Carl Berger, and he was always a man who met his objectives and worked with people.
Sounds like he has. He knows what having a healthy attitude about school and work is all about.
Absolutely. In fact, he went back to college at age 55.
Wow. Now, boy, do I love people who can do that, because that tells our young ones that education is not only just something you do because you have to do it. You do it because you love to do it. You love to learn. You're excited about it. It's like each new classroom, each new workplace that we enter into is just like going on a great date. Jerry Govan, tell us something this morning. Tell us a little bit about, you've got one of the most healthiest attitudes, you and your wife, about the way you work together. Tell us your secret, if you will. I don't want to call it a secret, but, I mean, what's your formula, your strategy of having this healthy attitude?
Well, Danita, as you know, I've always used the word interdependent. In fact, I have a business where we work with government and other businesses called the Interdependent Consulting Service. And relationships are all interdependent. And my definition of interdependent is leaning on each other but not holding each other up. So each person maintains their individuality but has respect for the other person and their thoughts and actions.
Exactly. The only way to do it, like I was saying earlier, I run my classroom like groups, and that is part of the group philosophy, is that we respect everyone in the group, their independence, and their collective ideas about how to make the classroom work more efficiently. So I let the students dictate that, in a sense, and I take that and build that into the curriculum to see if we can work with that. And I do that when I'm even doing job training exercises. Jerry, many times, and Donna, you might agree, many times people do not connect school to work, especially our younger generation. They don't understand that this is a stepping stone into having a great job.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Well, we have to support that. My daughter, even though she's married and has a full-time job, is going to school of her own choice. She turned down scholarships when she got out of high school because she didn't feel that that was where she needed to be. And now she's dedicated to doing her school that she wants to be a veterinarian. My other daughter has worked full-time and in L.A. and is an accountant and going for her secondary level of the CPA. But, and my son just became a doctor. So commitment to getting the education that society says. But, you know, I believe what you tell people from your institute is that also to do that, you need to have a healthy value of yourself from within.
That's right.
To both be there.
You know, Nazim is our personal development consultant, and he, his book, Reconnecting with Our Youth, is what we use for the basis of our counseling, if you will. It's not really, it's counseling, but it's a curriculum that we build for everyone. And each and every chapter of his book is useful. And you already know that with your book, Taking the E Out of Ego, that there's many stories that we'll be sharing as soon as I get back into the classroom in January 2010. I will be taking excerpts from your book and actually applying that in a lot of job training programs. So we really appreciate, our listeners, all of the great wealth and wisdom that we have that joins the show every day. And we want you to call in, write in to us, and let us know what you think about the show, what you think that we need to expound on a little bit more. I get it through the week, but I need you to really, really make an effort on Saturday mornings to call in and tell these wonderful people who volunteer their time, even when they're at a beach. You know, because Jerry and Donna Governor at, is it Cambria Beach? I was trying to remember that.
We are in Cambria because this is where our friend was living when he passed on.
Wonderful. And here we are in the world to talk about technology, that you can be at a beach and also be part of an educational radio show on Internet. That tells you a lot about where we are as a society. You know?
Yep, I took a picture of the ocean so that I could send it over to you guys.
And
wonderful.
We're going to sign off, but we love everyone that's on board with us. We send our love, and we share our love with everyone.
Well, thank you very much. We've got about 7 minutes remaining here on Students to Teachers to Students, and we're going to get into guided imagery right now with Nazim Rashid, and if we have a few moments after that, we will also end with an inspiration and some resources from Dorothy. Okay? Nazim, you ready to take this away for a moment? Give us a
all
brief
right.
overview.
I'm part of what I just heard. The beach scene is wonderful.
May I ask you, are you going to give us guided imagery for teachers in the classroom? Because I think that would be great, because they cover two areas. Our teachers are actually really, really students, because they're willing to learn and plug into our show on Saturday morning. But they're also employees of a school system. So, if you could work on focusing our imagery on that level, even though it's useful for students, that would be appreciated.
All right. We can do that.
How many minutes do you need for this? We've got about 6 minutes remaining. Will we still have time to do some resources after this?
Well, let's see. I'll just watch the time and see where it goes. I'll try and be brief, but I want to make sure I paint the right picture.
Okay. Well, listeners, sit back and just allow us to go on a journey with Nazim Rashid, and this is something that you can use and apply every single day of your life. Choose a healthy attitude. Take it away, sir.
All right. As we're home, sitting in our favorite chair, whether it is the wonderful leather beanbag or a soft couch or lounge chair, pick that. Or just imagine that in your mind where your favorite chair is and just sink down into that. And with your eyes closed and you breathe deeply, which means you're going to have your diaphragm expand, your air is going to go all the way down your tummy area, and you slowly let the air come out. And what happens, now we're at a state where we're a little more relaxed, and we can start the visioning process. So we're going to look at a classroom. Okay, so as we're relaxing, we ask ourselves, what does the classroom look like? You have these walls that are, it says, called them nice light beige walls there with a brown trim and so forth. Okay, nice beige and brown mixed tile on the floor and nice neat desks in front of us. And we see students there. There are about 15 students in the classroom. It's called them between the ages of, say, 16, 17-year-olds, and they're there. And we're sitting in our chair looking out to smiling faces. They're smiling back at us. We're smiling back at them. And we see nothing but love. We hear nothing but love. And we feel nothing but love. So as we're looking at the faces individually, we see different levels of love. And it's coming back to us. And so we're noticing Kathy out here. You know, she's coming to the classroom, and she's prepared to learn all she can. And we see Jim next to her, and he is looking at us saying, I love you, and I love this process, and I want to be a partner with you to help me get to my next level. Do you see Susan next to him, and she's saying, I am so glad I was here. I'm so glad God brought me through this process because a lot of kids didn't make it this far. I'm glad I was chosen to be in the seat at this time to listen and experience you right now. You see? And the next person looks at you. Now, this person is very special because we look at this person. This person has eyes like you do. This person has a nose like you, a mouth like you, hair like you. And you look carefully and you say to yourself, that is me. I'm looking at me right now.
Ooh.
And it looks wonderful. And so now this 16 version of me is looking at me saying, yes, I'm here to learn from you also because you have a lot to teach me. You have a lot to mold me. You have a lot to guide me. I'm here also to learn from you. And then you see all the rest of the kids in the classroom in the same kind of synonymous positive ways saying the same thing. And because of the time, I can't go into each and every one of them, but collectively you see nothing but receptivity from what you have to bring, and you see that they're giving back to you exactly what you want them to give, and you know that this is what you are there to do, and this is God's will, and it will all be wonderful and positive, and everybody starts levitating.
Well, you know, we have 1 minute remaining, and that was so wonderful. Let me just say to all of you out there, thank you for joining us today, but take this with you. If you project yourself into your classroom as you sitting out there looking at you, as Nazim was saying, think about what you would want to see, what you would want your teacher to be, and be that teacher. Be the student and be the teacher, and join us next week on the Student to Teacher to Student Internet Radio Show. And thank you for this great music that Nazim provides for us every week. It's just fantastic. I really can't tell you how much I appreciate it. People call in. Oh, and by the way, if any of you are interested in Nazim's book, Reconnecting, please make sure you call in. Dorothy, are you still there? I think she's gone, but I'll go ahead and say some of the resources she wanted us to look at this week. Of course, she works for Prepaid Legal and also supports us. And also Wendy Duncan with Farmers Insurance, if you're interested in any insurance. or educational products are provided through White Apple Institute for any of our listeners out there. So make sure you contact us at whiteappleinstitute.org or call or write into the show. Okay, we're looking forward to hearing from you next week. We have about 6 seconds remaining. Listen to this great music and have a great week of optimism, optimism and a healthy attitude to you and you and you and you.
Thank you.